Podcast Macabre, Stab of Grief, 9. The Raven, by Edgar Allan Poe. Once upon a midnight dreary, when I pondered weak and weary over many a quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping, as of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. "'Tis some visitor," I muttered, "tapping at my chamber door, only this and nothing more." Ah, distinctly I remember, it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my books a surcease of sorrow for the lost Lenore, for the rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore, nameless here for evermore. And the silken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain thrilled me, filled me with fantastic terrors never felt before, so that now too still the beating of my heart I stood repeating, "'Tis some visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, some late visitor entreating entrance at my chamber door, this it is and nothing more." Presently my soul grew stronger, hesitating then no longer. "Sir," said I, "or madam, truly your forgiveness I implore. But the fact is, I was napping, and so gently you came rapping, and so faintly you came tapping at my chamber door, that I scarce was sure I heard you. Here I open wide the door. Darkness there, and nothing more." Deep into that darkness peering, long I stood there wondering, fearing, doubting, dreaming dreams no mortal ever dared to dream before. But the silence was unbroken, and the darkness gave no token, and the only word there spoken was the whispered word, "Lenore." This I whispered, and an echo murmured back the word, "Lenore." Merely this, and nothing more. Back into the chamber turning, all my soul within me burning, soon again I heard a tapping somewhat louder than before. "Surely," said I, "surely that is something at my window lattice. Let me see then what that threat is, and this mystery explore. Let my heart be still a moment, and this mystery explore. 'Tis the wind, and nothing more." Open here I flung the shutter, when with many a flirt and flutter in there stepped a stately raven of the saintly days of yore. Not the least obedience made he, not a minute stopped or stayed he, with the mien of lord or lady perched above my chamber door, perched upon a bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, perched and sat and nothing more. Then this ebony bird beguiling my sad fancy into smiling by the grave and stern decorum of the countenance it wore. "Though thy crest be shorn and raven, thou," I said, "art sure no craven, ghastly grim and ancient raven, wandering from the nightly shore. Tell me what thy lordly name is on this night's Plutonian shore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." Much I marvelled this ungainly fowl to hear discourse so plainly, though its answer little meaning, little relevancy bore. For we cannot help agreeing that no living human being ever yet was blessed with seeing bird above his chamber door, bird or beast above the sculptured bust above his chamber door, with such name as "Nevermore." But the raven, sitting lonely on the placid bust, spoke only that one word, as if his soul in that one word he did outpour. Nothing further than he uttered, not a feather that he fluttered, till I scarcely more than muttered, "Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before." Then the bird said, "Nevermore." Startly at the stillness broken by a reply so aptly spoken, "Doubtless," said I, "what it utters is only stock and store, caught from some unhappy master whom unmerciful disaster followed fast and followed faster till his songs one burden bore, till the dirges of his hope that melancholy burden bore of never, nevermore." But the raven still beguiling all my sad soul into smiling, straight I wheeled a cushioned seat in front of burden, bust and door. Then, upon the velvet sinking, I betook myself to linking fancy unto fancy, thinking what this ominous bird of yore, what this grim, ungainly, ghastly, gaunt and ominous bird of yore meant in croaking "Nevermore." This I sat engaged in guessing, but no syllable expressing to the fowl whose fiery eyes now burned into my bosom's core. This and more I sat divining, with my head at ease reclining on the cushion's velvet lining that the lamplight gloated o'er, but whose velvet violet lining with the lamplight gloated o'er she shall press, ah, nevermore. Then methought the air grew denser, perfumed by an unseen censer swung by seraphim whose footfalls tinkled on the tufted floor. "Wretch," I cried, "thy God hath lent thee by the angels he has sent thee respite, respite and nepenthe from my memories of Lenore. Quaff, oh quaff this kind nepenthe and forget this lost Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, whether tempter sent or whether tempest tossed thee here ashore, desolate yet all undaunted on this desert land enchanted, on this home by horror haunted, tell me truly, I implore, is there balm in Gilead? Tell me, I implore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Prophet," said I, "thing of evil, prophet still, if bird or devil, by that heaven that bends above us, by that God we both adore, tell this soul with sorrow laden, if within the distant Aden it shall clasp a sainted maiden whom the angels named Lenore, clasp a rare and radiant maiden whom the angels named Lenore." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." "Be that word our sign of parting, bird or fiend," I shrieked, upstarting, "get thee back into the tempest and the night's Plutonian shore. Leave no black plume as a token of that lie thou soul hast spoken. Leave my loneliness unbroken, quit the bust above my door. Take thy beak from out my heart and take that form from off my door." Quoth the raven, "Nevermore." And the raven, never flitting, still is sitting on the pallid bust of Pallas just above my chamber door, and his eyes have all the seeming of a demon's that is dreaming, and the lamplight o'er him streaming throws his shadow on the floor, and my soul from out that shadow that lies floating on the floor shall be lifted nevermore. If you've signed up for the Cast Macabre Fan Club newsletter, you'll know that we've closed to submissions and we'll be posting shows on a relaxed schedule for the next month or so. This is so that we can catch up on our backlog and give the submission process and our website an overhaul. We've officially been in iTunes for over a year now, so it's time to take the show onto the next stage of its evolution. Sign up to the Fan Club newsletter to keep updated. The slowdown will also help us with the launch of our kid's sister YA sci-fi and fantasy podcast, Cast of Wonders. I'm also starting a new job in a new town, which means until we move house I won't be home for most of the week, leaving me less time to put shows together. And I want to keep the standard of the show as high as I have been, if not higher. The fan club will still be active though, and very soon we'll be releasing the very first Cast Macabre ebook anthology, so watch out for that. I'll be posting about the progress of that on the newsletter as well. I've set myself the super high, crazy goal of making Cast Macabre and Cast of Wonders propane markets. If you know of any way at all that you can help, or of someone else who might be able to help or give me any advice on how to do this, please get in touch. But as ever, until then, we're still open to regular or one-off donations through the site at castmacabre.org. Cast Macabre is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives License. Music from musicali.com, theme music by Pain Factor.